Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. Today is day 1511 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, you must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. This week, we will finish up our study on a course I completed taught by Dr. Michael S. Heiser on our Worldview Wednesday episode. Our study is entitled, Sons and Daughters of God, The Believer's Identity, Calling, and Destiny. Throughout this multi-week course, we have demonstrated that, in the Old Testament, sons of God and holy ones refer to supernatural beings whose Father is God and who work with God to carry out His will, and that His divine family was present before humanity. By fully engaging the biblical texts such as Psalm 82, Psalm 89, and Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 8 and 9, our study showed that the divine family functions as a template for God's human family. God desires of humans, as His imagers, to participate in His counsel. This study addressed issues such as polytheism, the nature of little g gods, and Yahweh's uniqueness. This study applies insights to the New Testament text, which shows how the metaphor of being in God's family informs our sense of identity and mission as believers. So as we wrap up this course today, let's look at the family of imagers in segment number 30, Believers as Family, Participants, Part 3. Hebrews 2 is a bit more the obtuse example of the kinds of things we're talking about because Hebrews language tends to be kind of complicated, but it is a pretty powerful one. So I wanted to include it because this section of Hebrews is, I think, especially telling when it comes to the family relationship and bringing things full circle, being presented to God as the fulfillment of the original plan. We want to look at family members in the divine council. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, God, for whom through everything was made, chose to bring many children into His glory. And it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. For He said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. And that takes us to the conclusion that family members are sharing the same status. Now look at the language here. We have a scene where the writer is talking about Jesus. God is in the picture, and we have this son language. We also have sibling language here, brothers and sisters. The scene is amazing because here we have Jesus introducing God, as it were, to proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. What are the assembled people? Among your assembled people. It is the throne room of God. It is in the presence of all who have gone before. The whole cloud of witness idea is something that Dr. Heiser mentions in his book, The Unseen Realm. The notion of the cloud of witnesses goes back to the divine council language by ratifying treaties and agreements and covenants and guarantees. So we have believers who have gone before the members of the council now. They have been grafted in as normal human beings, fallen but redeemed, and being brought back into the family. The inclusion language here is a reference to someday all of us, each one of us, is going to be presented to God, and God is going to be presented to us by our brother who is Jesus. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters because we all share the same status. We are family members. We are fellow imagers. And we see through this that God remains faithful. When we get to the end of the road of life, with a task well done, things coming to full circle, the writer of Hebrews wants us to know that we're going to have this moment. It is a full circle kind of thing. Our purpose will be fulfilled in the way that it should have originally been. What should have awaited all of us, without all the struggle, the sin, the estrangement from God, the travails of human history will be completed. Of course it isn't when we're still here on earth, but God never gave up on the plan. He never annihilated Adam and Eve after they fell. He never just wiped the slate clean. He was committed to the idea of creating humans, these intelligent, embodied beings, with whom he would share his attributes so that they could be like him, they could work with him, and eventually be brought back into complete relationship into the family, all because of the lead example, the incarnation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who is our brother. And we see that then we'll have authority over the nations. In Revelation chapter 2, we get a better feel of our status and activity that will be experienced in a new Eden, in a new situation. Jesus is the speaker here in Revelation chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. Except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. We see this term, the morning star, is linked to ruling over the nations. The morning star language is essential. This is messianic language. You think about this passage. To them I will give the authority over all the nations. This is the reclamation of the nations, those people who rebelled at Babel and were put under the authority of lesser sons of God, those who became corrupted and seduced their people into idolatry instead of being caretakers of them according to the acceptable rules of Yahweh's justice. This is what Psalm 82 is about, this adversarial relationship that develops from this act, this rebellion, this judgment at Babel. The Messiah is a solution to that, but so are we. At some point in the future, we will be put over the nations. To them I have given authority over all the nations. Who is over the nations now? Well, it's the fallen sons of God. Who is going to be over the nations? The redeemed sons of God. We essentially become the reconstituted divine council. That is the destiny of the believer. The morning star idea is linked explicitly to ruling over the nations because it's messianic. It refers to a divine being who had come from Judah. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 is reference for that. We read the prophecy that a star will rise from Jacob, a scepter will emerge from Israel. Star language has always been associated with divine beings. Star language in the ancient world is a language that you would associate with divine beings. The king is also going to be divine. You have hints of this back in the book of Numbers. Later in the book of Revelation, Jesus himself refers to his messianic standing with the morning star language. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, this is the end of the Bible, and this is the global Eden scene. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you a message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. We see that Christ fulfills God's mission. Jesus Christ is the Monogaeus. He is the unique Son of God. He is both God and human, uniting all things into one. Christ is the linchpin figure that fulfills God's original plan to have humans grafted back into his divine family. From the beginning, God's plan was for us to be living in this wonderful, terrestrial place where heaven meets earth, where God has chosen to be all together as one, one mission, one goal obtained. This is how everything ends in the book of Revelation. In these chapters, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we have a very overt Edenic language, and that is deliberate. It's all to make us think back to the beginning. And here we are in Revelation chapter 21 and 22 with a mission fulfilled. And now we've come to the conclusion of this course, which links back to Dr. Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm, Recovering the Supernatural Worldview of the Bible. If you desire to take a deep dive into the subject matter covered, I highly recommend this book. If you would like an abbreviated form of the book, which is easier to read, I recommend purchasing his book, Supernatural. We just focused on a few items, such as the Son of God language. Sons and daughters of God, the idea of the divine family with deep Old Testament roots, and how that forms the foundation for understanding the terminology in the New Testament. Not just the terminology, but the concepts that go along with it. Of course, those concepts refer to our status as believers. We are members of the divine family. Linking that idea between the Old Testament and the New Testament affects our understanding of our calling. What are we supposed to do, and why are we even here? We reviewed the concept of divine imaging and participation in our destiny and glorification in the restored Eden. When that restoration is complete, we have an eternal status, this eternal belonging to God's family. That restoration provides us the responsibility of eternal rule, the eternal maintenance of all the beautiful things that the global Eden is, what God has made, where God has led things throughout human history. I do thank you for joining me on this trek. I hope that this journey has been beneficial, and I think that this will provide the foundation for learning about other concepts as well in the Bible. And that will finish our study for this week's Worldview Wednesday. Join us again next week to consider why it is essential to foster and maintain a biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will enjoy a 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,510 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.